from Manaus early, leaving our well-wishers behind us in the sleeping port as the boats sluggishly negotiated the waters that would take us into the heart of the Amazonas. Days of boredom followed as the next stage of our journey passed us by in a sweltering haze of humidity and mosquitoes. Jenkins had had the foresight to bring a prodigious supply of gin with him, so we spent the time in a torpor, only stirring to admire the local wildlife as it drifted past us. If only we'd thought to pack an ice-making machine. It wasn't long before the deprivations brought on by our abandonment of civilization began to take their toll. Fotherington Thomas was the first to snap after he discovered that his secret stash of digestive biscuits had fallen prey to rats, which had come on board when we landed at a small backwater village to take on fresh supplies of tonic water. Billings went overboard the next day, unable to bear the complete lack of Wi-Fi. The next day, the drums began. Was a much reduced party of us who transferred to the canoes when the river grew too shallow for the boats to navigate. Jenkins's stiff upper lip failed him when we told him he'd have to leave most of the gin behind if we were to continue. Only when we managed to get him to reaffirm his commitment to solving one of the jungle's deepest and most long-standing mysteries did his tears cease to flow. Although the contents of Street Mentioner Snell's legendary hip flask probably helped to ameliorate his predicament. The drums continued to accompany us as we beached the canoes and began to beat a path through the dense jungle. Peters fell prey to a vicious pack of guinea pigs, and we had to send Watkins home after he refused to wear a jacket for dinner. It was a brutal journey. But it was when we reached the clearing in the midst of all this desolation that we discovered that the legendary stone spheres we had sought were not the out-of-place artifacts that von Daniken had suggested. In fact, we had found something else. It was a load of balls